Prathan watched several Karathi priests lead the stunned princess from the quiet room.
Such are the judgments of Holy Yadith.
The Duke Roile sat on the edge of the throne dais, head held between his hands. The young Jindo Baron looked as if he wanted to follow the priests and demand Serini's release, and the Marshal Count Eondel was weeping openly. Prathan was surprised to realize that he took no joy from their sorrow. Princess Serini's fall was necessary, but her friends were of no concern, or at least they shouldn't be. Why was he bothered that no one had shed tears at his own fall before the Shaoed? Prathan had begun to think that the poison would take effect too late, that the surprise marriage between Serini and Roile would go forward unchallenged. Of course, Serini's fall would probably have been just as disastrous after the marriage, unless Roile had intended to take the throne this very evening. It was an uncomfortable possibility, one, fortunately, Prathan would never have the opportunity to see fulfilled. Roile wouldn't crown himself now. Prathan pushed his way through the stunned crowd toward the exit. He had to work quickly. Serini's potion would wear off in 5 days. Duke Telrai met Prathan's eyes as he passed, nodding with a respectful smile. The man had received Prathan's message and had not acted against the wedding. Now his faith would be rewarded. The conquest of Aerilon was almost complete.
There should be a way to get up there.
Raoden shaded his eyes as he looked at the Elantris city wall. During the last few hours, the sun had emerged, burning away the morning mists. It hadn't, however, brought much warmth with it.
I don't see how, Sewell. Those walls are rather high.
You forget, my friend, the walls weren't made to keep people in, or even really to keep enemies out. The old Elantrians built stairs and viewing platforms on the outside of the wall. There should be others in here.
Ever since the guards had mysteriously disappeared from the walls, Raoden had wanted to find a way up. The walls belonged to Elantris, not the outside world. From them, perhaps they could find out what was happening in Kaidi. The guards' inattentiveness bothered him. The disappearance was fortunate, in a way. It lessened the possibility that someone would notice new Elantris. However, Raoden could only think of a couple of reasons why the soldiers would leave their posts on the walls, and the most likely one was also the most worrisome. Could the East finally have invaded? Raoden knew that an invasion was all too possible. Wern was too opportunistic to let a gem like post-Raod Aerilon go unmolested forever. Fjordan would attack eventually, and if Aerilon fell before Wern's holy war, then Elantris would be destroyed. The Dorethi priests would see to that. Raoden didn't voice his fears to the other Elantrians, but he did act on them. If he could place men on the walls, then he would have prior warning of an army's approach. Perhaps, with advance notice, Raoden would have time to hide his people. One of the three empty ruined towns outside of Elantris was probably their best hope. He would lead them there if he had the chance, assuming he was in any condition to help. The door had come against him twice in the last 4 days. Fortunately, while the pain was growing stronger, so was his resolve. Now, at least, he understood.
There!
Galadon pointed to an outcropping. Raoden nodded. There was a chance that the stone column held a stairwell.
Let's try it.
They didn't get very far. Soon after Galadon pointed out the stairwell, a messenger from New Elantris appeared from a side street behind them. The man approached on quick feet, waving toward Raoden.
My lord spirit.
Yes, Tenrao.
A newcomer has been thrown into the city, my lord.
Shall we go, Galadon?
The walls will wait.
The newcomer turned out to be a she. The woman sat with her back to the gate, her knees pulled up against her chest, her head buried in her sacrificial robes.
She's a feisty one, my lord.
Daishi had been serving as watcher when the newcomer arrived.
She screamed at the gate for a full 10 minutes after they tossed her in. Then she threw her offering basket against the wall and sank down like she is now.
Raoden nodded. Most newcomers were too stunned to do much besides wander. This one had strength. Raoden gestured for the others to remain behind. He didn't want to make her nervous by bringing a crowd. He strolled forward until he was directly in front of her. then squatted down to regard her at eye level.
Hello there. I'm willing to guess you've had an awful day.
The woman looked up. Her skin was splotched and her hair was missing. But she had the same thin face and round, mischievous eyes. Princess Serini.
You don't know the half of it, Spirit.
I'll bet I understand more than you think I do. I'm here to make things a little less dreary.
What? Are you going to steal the offering the priest gave me?
Well, I will if you really want me to, though I don't think we need it. Someone was kind enough to deliver us several large batches of food a few weeks back.
Serini regarded him with hostile eyes. She hadn't forgotten his betrayal.
Come with me.
I don't trust you anymore, Spirit.
Did you ever?
I wanted to, but I knew that I shouldn't.
And you never really gave me a chance, did you? Come with me.
Serini regarded him for a moment, studying his eyes. Eventually, she reached out her fine, thin-fingered hand and placed it in his own for the first time, allowing him to pull her to her feet. The sudden change was nothing less than stupefying. It was as if Serini had stepped from darkness into sunlight, burst from brackish water into warm air. The dirt and grime of Elantris stopped in a crisp line, beyond which the cobblestones were pure and white. Anywhere else, the street's simple cleanliness would have been noticeable, but not remarkable. Here, with the rot of Elantris behind her, it seemed as if Serini had stumbled into Domai's paradise. She stopped before the stone gate, staring at the city within a city, her eyes wide and disbelieving. People talked and worked within, each bearing the cursed skin of an Elantrian, but each wearing a pleasant smile as well. None wore the rags she had assumed were the only available clothing in Elantris. Their outfits were simple skirts or trousers and a shirt. The cloth was strikingly colorful. With amazement, Serini realized that these were the colors she had chosen. What she had seen as offensive, however, the people wore with joy, the bright yellows, greens, and reds highlighting their cheerfulness. These were not the people she had seen just a few weeks before, pathetic and begging for food. They looked as if they belonged to some pastoral village of lore. People who expressed a good-natured joviality Serini had thought unrealistic in the real world. Yet they lived in the one place everyone knew was even more horrible than the real world.
What is...
Spirit smiled broadly, still holding her hand as he pulled her through the gateway into the village.
Welcome to New Elantris, Serini. Everything you assumed is no longer valid.
I can see that.
A squat Elantrian woman approached, her dress a mixture of vibrant greens and yellows. She eyed Serini critically.
I doubt we have anything in her size, Lord Spirit.
Well, do your best, Mayeri.
Raoden walked toward a low-ceilinged building at the side of the gate. The door was open, and Serini could see rows of clothing hanging on pegs inside. Embarrassed, she was suddenly aware of her own clothing. She had already stained the white garment with slime and muck.
Come on, dearie.
Mayeri led Serini to a second building.
Let's see what we can do.
The motherly woman eventually found a dress that fit Serini reasonably well, or at least a blue skirt that showed her legs only up to mid-calf, along with a bright red blouse. There were even undergarments, though they too were constructed of bright materials. Serini didn't complain. Anything was better than her filth-soiled robe. After pulling on the clothing, Serini regarded herself in the room's full-length mirror. Half of her skin was still flesh-toned, but that only made the dark splotches more striking. She assumed that her flesh tones would dim with time, becoming gray like those of the other Elantrians.
Wait! Where did the mirror come from?
It isn't a mirror, dearie.
Mayeri sifted through a collection of socks and shoes.
It's a flat piece of stone, part of a table, I think, with thin sheets of steel wrapped around it.
Looking closely, Serini could see the folds where sheets of steel overlapped one another. Serini knew exactly where they had gotten sheets of steel that thin. She herself had sent them, again thinking to get the better of Spirit, who had demanded several sheets of metal as part of his bribe. Maeri disappeared for a moment, then returned with socks and shoes for Serini.
Here we are. I had to go over and pilfer these from the men.
Oh, okay.
Oh, don't mind, dearie. It makes sense you'd have big feet. Domai knows you need more on the bottom to support all that height. Oh, and here's the last thing.
The woman held up a long scarf-like piece of orange cloth.
For your head. It helps us forget about the hair.
Serini nodded, thankfully, accepting the scarf and tying it around her scalp. Spirit waited for her outside, wearing a pair of red trousers and a yellow shirt. He smiled as she approached.
I feel like an insane rainbow.
Spirit held out his hand and led her deeper into the city.
Get used to the idea that we all look like seca birds in the spring. Well, the colors don't bother you all that much once you wear them for a while. Actually, after the dull monotones of old Elantris, I find them quite refreshing.
As they walked, Spirit explained New Elantris to her. It wasn't very large, perhaps 50 buildings in all, but its compact nature made it feel more unified. Though there couldn't have been many people in the town, 500 or 600 at most, there always seemed to be motion around her. Men worked on walls or roofs, women sewed or cleaned. Even children ran in the streets. It had never occurred to her that the Shayod would take children as well as adults. The people gave to Rayodin a level of loving respect Serini had rarely seen given to a leader. Even her father, who was generally well-liked, had his dissenters. Of course, it was easier with such a small population. But she was still impressed. At one point, they walked by a man of indecipherable age, sitting on a stone block. He was short, with a large belly, and he didn't greet them. His inattention, however, was not a sign of incivility. He was just focused on the small object in his hand. Several children stood around the man, watching his bent-over work with eager eyes. As Serini and Spirit passed, the man held the object out to one of the children. It was a beautifully carved stone horse.
There you go, my darling.
The children ran off as the sculptor reached down to select another rock from the ground. He began to scrape at the stone with a short tool. As Serini peered closely at his fingers, she realized what it was.
One of my nails! He's using one of the bent nails I sent you.
Oh, yes. I have to tell you, Serini, we had quite a time figuring out what to do with that particular box. It would have taken far too much fuel to melt them all down, even assuming we had the tools for smelting. Those nails were one of your more clever adaptations.
Serini flushed. These people were fighting to survive in a city deprived of resources, and she had been so petty as to send them bent nails.
I'm sorry, I was afraid you'd make weapons out of the steel.
You were right to be wary. I did, after all, betray you in the end.
I'm sure you had a good reason.
I did, but that didn't matter much at the time, did it? You were right about me. I was, a tyrant. I kept food back from a part of the population. I broke our agreement, and I caused the deaths of some fine men.
You are not a tyrant. This community proves that. The people love you, and there cannot be tyranny where there's love.
Spirit half smiled, his eyes unconvinced. Then, however, he regarded her with an unreadable expression.
Well, I suppose the time during your trial wasn't a complete loss. I gained something very important during those weeks.
The supplies?
Well, that too.
Serini paused, holding his eyes. Then she looked back at the sculptor.
His name is Tayain, though you might know him by the name Aeyndin.
The gang leader?
Tayain was one of the most accomplished sculptors in Aerilon before the Shayo took him. After coming to Elantris, he lost track of himself for a while. He came around eventually.
They left the sculptor to his work, Spirit showing her through the last few sections of the city. They passed a large, lonely-looking building.
The Hall of the Fallen.
The sorrow in his voice kept Serini from asking about it. Though she did see several mindless Shayod Seons, Serini felt a sudden stab of grief. Eishi must be like that now, she thought. Remembering the mad Seons she had occasionally seen floating around Elantris. Despite what she'd seen, she'd continued to hope through the night that Eishi would find her. The Karathi priests had locked her in some sort of holding cell to wait, apparently. New Elantrians were only thrown into the city once a day, and she'd stood by the window, wishing he would arrive. She'd waited in vain. With the confusion at the wedding, she couldn't even remember the last time she'd seen him. Not wanting to enter the chapel, he'd gone ahead to wait for her in the throne room. When she'd arrived, had she seen him? Had she seen him floating inside the room? Had she heard his voice, calling out amid the other shocked members of the wedding party? Or was she simply letting hope cloud her memories?
Oh, my poor Aishi, I'm so sorry.
Serini let Spirit lead her away from the Hall of the Fallen. She kept looking over her shoulder, glancing upward, expecting Aishi to be there. He always had been before.
At least he isn't dead. He's probably in the city somewhere. I can find him, maybe help him somehow.
Spirit didn't question Serini. He had noticed her staring longingly at the seance floating above the hall, and had a pretty good idea of who she was talking about. They continued to walk, and Serini intentionally let herself be distracted by the scenery. She couldn't bear to think of Aishi anymore. Soon, Spirit led her past several open areas that, looking closely, Serini realized must be fields. Tiny sprouts were appearing in careful rows piled in the dirt, and several men walked among them, searching for weeds. There was a distinct smell in the air.
Fish?
Fertilizer. That's one time we managed to get the better of you. We asked for trike, knowing full well you would find the nearest barrel of rotten fish to include in the shipment.
It seems like you got the better of me more times than not.
We don't have much choice, Princess. Everything from pre-Rio to Lantris is rotten or befouled. Even the stones are starting to crumble. No matter how defective you may have thought those supplies, they were still far more useful than anything left in the city.
I was wrong.
Don't start that again. If you begin feeling sorry for yourself again, I'll lock you in a room with Galadon for an hour so that you can learn what true pessimism is.
Galadon?
He was the large fellow you met briefly back at the gates.
The doula?
That's him.
A pessimistic doula? I've never heard of such a thing.
Spirit led her into a large, stately building.
It's beautiful!
It was lined with delicate, spiraled arches, and the floor was crafted of pale, white marble. The wall reliefs were even more intricate than those on the Karathi Temple in Teoris.
It's a chapel!
Yes, it is. How did you know that?
These scenes are straight out of the Do Korath. Someone didn't pay much attention in chapel school.
Well...
Don't even try and convince me you didn't go. You're obviously a nobleman. You would have gone to church to keep up appearances, even if you weren't devout.
My lady is very astute. I am, of course, Stomai's humble servant, but I'll admit that my mind sometimes wandered during the sermons.
So, who were you?
Second son of the Lord of Ayn Plantation. Very minor holding in the south of Aerilon.
How long?
Serini turned away from the wall. Then she froze, her breath catching in her throat. Spirit was glowing. A spectral light grew from somewhere within. She could see the lines of his bones silhouetted before some awesome power that burned within his chest. Serene rushed to his side, then paused, unsure what to do. Gritting her teeth, she grabbed him, lifting his head up to keep the spasms from pounding it repeatedly against the cold marble floor, and she felt something. It brought bumps to her arms and sent a frigid shiver through her body. Something large, something impossibly immense, pressed against her. Serini was left with her heart pounding a rhythm in her breast, her arms bathed in anxious sweat. Spirit's eyes fluttered open a few moments later. As comprehension slowly returned, he smiled wanly and rested his head back against her arm.
When I opened my eyes, I thought that time I had died for certain.
What happened? Should I go for help?
No. This is becoming a common occurrence.
Common? For all of us?
No, just me. I'm the one the door is intent on destroying.
The door? What does Yeska have to do with this?
So, the fair princess is a religious scholar as well?
The fair princess knows a lot of things. I want to know why a humble servant of Domai thinks the Yeska Overspirit is trying to destroy him.
It has to do with Aeon Dor.
Aeon Dor? That's a heathen legend.
So, it's all right for us to be cursed with bodies that won't die, but it's not possible for our ancient magic to work? Didn't I see you with a Saeon?
That's different.
Serini's mind turned back to Aeshi. Spirit, however, immediately drew her attention again. He raised his hand and began drawing. Karathi teachings of the last 10 years had done its best to downplay Elantris's magic, despite the Saeons. Saeons were familiar, almost like benevolent spirits sent by Domai for protection and comfort. Serini had been taught and had believed that Elantris's magic had mostly been a sham. Now, however, she was faced with a possibility. Perhaps the stories were true.
Teach me. I want to know.
It wasn't until later, after night had fallen, that Serini finally allowed herself to cry. Spirit had spent the better part of the day explaining all he knew of Aeon Dor. Apparently, he had done some extensive research on the subject. Serini had listened with enjoyment because of both the company and the distraction he provided. Before they had known it, dusk was falling outside the chapel windows, and Spirit had found her lodgings. Now she lay curled up, shivering in the cold. As she bunched up against the hard stone wall, she remembered the looks, those awful looks. Most other Elantrians had been taken at night, and they would have been discovered quietly. Serini, however, had been exhibited before the entire aristocracy, at her own wedding, no less. It was a mortifying embarrassment. Her only consolation was that she would probably never see any of them again. It was a small comfort, for by the same reasoning, she would probably never see her father, mother, or brother again. Kyaian and his family were lost to her. So, where homesickness had never hit her before, now it attacked with a lifetime's worth of repression. Coupled with it was the knowledge of her failure. Spirit had asked her for news from the outside, but the topic had proven too painful for her. She knew that Telrai was probably already king, and that meant Raethan would easily convert the rest of Aerilon. She cried for the wedding, for Aerilon, for Aeshi's madness, and for the shame dear Roael must have felt. Thoughts of her father were worst of all. The idea of never again feeling the love of his gentle banter, never again sensing his overwhelming, unconditional approval, brought to her heart an overpowering sense of dread.
My lady, is that you? Lady Serini?
Aeshi?
Oh, blessed Domai!
Aeshi! You never use the Lord's name.
If he has brought me to you, then he has his first Saeon convert.
Aeshi, you're talking. You shouldn't be able to speak. You should be...
Mad, yes, my lady, I know. Yet I feel no differently from before.
A miracle.
No wonder, if nothing else. Perhaps I should look into converting to Shu-Korath.
Sine Elaine would never hear of it. Of course, his disapproval has never stopped us before, has it?
Not once, my lady. Oh, you have no idea how relieved I am to find you, my lady. I have been searching for 2 days. I had begun to fear that something awful had happened to you.
It did, Aeshi.
I mean something more horrible, my lady. I have seen the atrocities this place can breed.
It has changed, Aeshi. I don't quite understand how he did it, but Spirit brought order to Elantris.
Whatever he did, it kept you safe. I bless him for it.
Do you know how everyone is doing?
No, my lady. After the wedding dismissed, I spent an hour demanding that the Patriarch let you free. I don't think he was disappointed by your fall. After that, I realized that I had lost you. I went to Elantris's gates, but I was apparently too late to see you get thrown into the city. However, when I asked the guards where you had gone, they refused to tell me anything. They said it was taboo to speak of those who had become Elantrians. And when I told them that I was your Saeon, they grew very uncomfortable and stopped speaking to me. I had to venture into the city without information, and I've been searching for you ever since.
You didn't arrive too late to see me get thrown into the city, Aeshi. You arrived too early. Apparently, they only throw people in before a certain time of day. And the marriage happened quite late. I spent the night in the chapel, and they brought me to Elantris this afternoon. In the future, you can probably find me here, in the clean section of the city.
Ah, this is an interesting place. I have never been here before. It is, well, masked from the outside. Why is this area different from the others?
You'll see. Come back tomorrow.
Come back, my lady? I don't intend to leave you.
Just briefly, my friend. I need news from Kei, and you need to let the others know I'm all right.
Yes, my lady.
Sereni paused for a moment. Spirit had gone through great efforts to make sure no one on the outside knew of New Elantris. She couldn't betray his secret so offhandedly, even if she did trust the people Aishi would tell.
Tell them you found me, but don't tell them any of what you see in here.
Yes, my lady, just one moment, my lady. Your father wishes to speak with you.
The Seon began to pulse. Then his light melted, dripping and reforming into Eventeo's large overhead.
Ini?
I'm here, father.
Oh, thank Domai. Sereni, are you unharmed?
I'm fine, father.
Curse that Sinelane. He didn't even try to let you free. If I weren't so devout, I'd behead him without a second thought.
We must be fair, father. If a peasant's daughter can be cast into Elantris, then a king's daughter shouldn't be exempt.
If my reports are true, then no one should be thrown into that pit.
It's not as bad as you think, father. I can't explain, but things are more hopeful than anticipated.
Hopeful or not, I'm getting you out of there.
Father, no! If you bring soldiers to Aerilan, you'll not only leave Teod undefended, but you'll alienate our only ally.
It won't be our ally for long if my spy's predictions are accurate. Duke Telrai is waiting a few days to consolidate power, but everyone knows he'll soon take the throne. And he is on very friendly terms with that Gjorn Hrathan. You tried, Ini, but Aerilan is lost. I'm going to come get you. I won't really need all that many men. And then I'm going to fall back and prepare for an invasion. No matter how many men Wern raises, he'll never get them past our armada. Teod has the finest ships on the sea.
Father, you might have given up on Aerilan, but I can't.
Sereni, do not start that again. You are no more Aerilish than I.
I mean it, Father. I will not leave Aerilan.
Eidos Domite, Sereni. This is lunacy. I am your father and your king. I am going to bring you back whether you want to come or not.
Father, you taught me to be bold. You made me into something stronger than the ordinary. At times I cursed you, but mostly I blessed your encouragement. You gave me the liberty to become myself. Would you deny that now by taking away my right to choose? Your lessons won't be complete until you let go, Father. If you truly believe the ideals that you gave me, then you will allow me to make this decision.
You love them that much, Ini?
They have become my people, Father.
It has been less than 2 months.
Love is independent of time, Father. I need to stay with Aerilan. If it is to fall, I must fall with it. But I don't think it will. There has to be a way to stop Telrai.
But you're trapped in that city, Sereni. What can you do from there?
Aishi can act as messenger. I can no longer lead them, but I might be able to help. Even if I cannot, I still must stay.
I see. Your life is yours, Sereni. I have always believed that. Even if I forget it once in a while.
You love me, Father. We protect what we love.
And I do. Never forget that, my daughter.
I never have.
Aishi?
Yes, my king.
You will watch and protect her. If she is injured, you will call me.
As I ever have and ever will, my king.
Sereni, I'm still going to set the armada in a defensive pattern. Let your friends know that any ship approaching Teoish waters will be sunk without question. The entire world has turned against us, and I cannot risk the safety of my people.
I'll warn them, Father.
Good night, then, Ini. And may Domai bless you.
Hrathan was back in control. Like a hero from the old Svartish epics, he had descended to the underworld, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and returned a stronger man. Diloth's hold was broken, Only now could Hrathen see that the chains Diloth had used to bind him had been forged from Hrathen's own envy and insecurity. He had felt threatened by Diloth's passion, for he had felt his own faith inferior. Now, however, his resolve was firm, as it had been when he first arrived in Aerilon. He would be the savior of this people. Diloth backed down unhappily. The Arteth grudgingly promised to hold no meetings or sermons without Hrathen's overt permission. And, in exchange for being officially named as head Arteth of the chapel, Diloth also consented to relieve his numerous Odives from their vows, instead swearing them to the less binding position of Krondet. The biggest change, however, wasn't in the Arteth's actions, but in Hrathen's confidence. As long as Hrathen knew that his faith was as strong as Diloth's, then the Arteth would not be able to manipulate him. Diloth would not, however, relent in his pursuit of Elantris's destruction.
They are unholy!
The pair walked back towards the chapel. This night's sermon had been extremely successful. Hrathen could now claim over 3/4 of the local Aerilish nobility as Dorethi members or sympathizers. Telrai would crown himself within the week, and as soon as his rule stabilized a bit, he would announce his conversion to Shu Dereth. Aerilon was Hrathen's, and he still had a month left before Wern's deadline.
The Elantrians have served their purpose, Arteth.
Why do you forbid me to preach against them, my lord?
Preaching against the Elantris no longer has a point. Do not forget that our hate had a purpose. Now that I have proven Yaldeth's supreme power over Elantris, we have effectively shown that our god is true, while Domai is false. The people understand that subconsciously.
But the Elantrians are still unholy!
They are vile, they are blasphemous, and they are definitely unholy. But right now, they are also unimportant. We need to focus on the Dorethi religion itself, showing the people how to link themselves to Yaldeth by swearing fealty to yourself or one of the other Arteths. They sense our power, and it is our duty to show them how to partake of it.
And Elantris goes free?
No, most certainly not. There will be time enough to deal with it after this nation and its monarch is firmly in Yaldeth's grasp.
The door had been barred shut from the inside, but the wooden portal was part of the original Elantris, subject to the same rot that infested the rest of the city.
It practically fell off the hinges at my first touch.
A dark stairwell lay hidden inside, 10 years of dust coating its steps. Only a single set of footprints marked the powder. Footprints that could have been made only by feet as large as Galadon's.
And it goes all the way to the top?
Yes. And it's encased in stone the entire way, with only an occasional slit for light. One wrong step will send you tumbling down a series of stone steps as long and as painful as one of my Hama's stories.
Raoden nodded and began climbing, the Dula following behind. Before the Riod, the stair must have been lit by Elantrian magic, but now the darkness was broken only by occasional thin spears of light from the scattered slits. The stairs circled up against the outer wall of the structure, and the lower curves were dimly visible when one peered down the center. They had to stop often to rest, their Elantrian bodies unable to bear the strain of vigorous exercise. Eventually, however, they reached the top. The wooden door here was newer. The guard had probably replaced it after the original rotted away.
This is as far as I got, Sul. Climbed all the way to the top of the Dolican stairs, only to find out I needed an axe to go on.
That's why we brought this.
He pulled out the very axe Tayain had almost used to topple a building down on him. Even with the tool, cutting through the door was a difficult task. Raoden was exhausted, and each swing had barely seemed to nick the wood.
Sul, let me try.
Galadon's last hit had loosened a board. The pair finally managed to tear open a hole large enough to squeeze through. The view was worth the effort. Raoden had been atop the walls of Elantris dozens of times, but never had the sight of Kaye looked so sweet. The city was quiet. It appeared as if his fears of invasion had been premature. Smiling, Raoden enjoyed the sense of accomplishment. He felt as if he had climbed a mountain, not a simple stairwell. The walls of Elantris were once again back in the hands of those who had created them.
We did it.
Took us long enough.
Only a few hours?
I didn't mean cutting through the door. I've been trying to get you to come up here for 3 days.
I've been busy.
A two-headed Perrin would never leave its nest.
What was that?
I said a two-headed Perrin would never leave its nest.
Raoden smiled. He knew the Jinduese proverb. Ferrens were talkative birds, and could often be heard screaming at one another across the Jinduese marshes. The saying was used in reference to a person who had found a new hobby, or a new romance.
Oh, come now. I'm not that bad.
Sul, the only time in the last 3 days I've seen you two apart is when one of you had to go to the privy. She'd be here now if I hadn't snatched you when no one was looking.
Well, she is my wife.
And do you ever intend to inform her of that fact?
Maybe. I wouldn't want her to feel any obligation.
No, of course not.
Galadon, my friend, your people would be mortified to hear how unromantic you are.
So, Sul, we're up here. What do we do now?
I don't know. You're the one who forced me to come.
Yes, but it was your idea to search for a stairwell in the first place.
Raoden nodded, remembering back to their short conversation 3 days ago.
Has it really been that long?
Raoden had barely noticed. Perhaps he had been spending a little too much time with Serini. However, he didn't feel a bit guilty.
There!
What?
I see a flag. Our missing guards.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Raoden squinted, recognizing the building over which the banner flew.
That's Duke Telrai's mansion. What could the Elantris City Guard possibly have to do with him?
Perhaps he's under arrest.
No, the guard is in a policing force.
Why would they leave the walls then?
I'm not sure. Something, however, is very wrong.
Raoden and Galadon retreated back down the stairwell, deep in thought. There was one way to find out what was going on with the guard. Serini was the only Elantrian to be thrown into the city since the disappearance of the guard. Only she could explain the current political climate of the city. Serini, however, still resisted talking about the outside. Something about the last few days before her exile had been extremely painful. Sensing her hurt, Raoden had avoided prying. He didn't want to risk alienating her. The truth was, he really did enjoy his time with Serini. Her wry wit made him smile, her intelligence intrigued him, and her personality encouraged him. After 10 years of dealing with women whose only apparent thought was how good they looked in their dress, a state of forced obtuseness led by his own weak-willed stepmother, Raoden was ready for a woman who wouldn't cower at the first sign of conflict. A woman such as he remembered his mother being before she died. However, that same unyielding personality was the very thing that had kept him from learning about the outside. No amount of subtle persuasion, or even direct manipulation, could pry a single unwilling fact out of Serini's mouth.
I can't afford to be delicate any longer. The guard's actions are troubling, and any shift in power could be extremely dangerous to Elantris.
Despite the fall of Elantris, Aerilon had spent the last 10 years in relative peace, at least on a national level. With an ally to the south, Teod's armada patrolling the northern ocean, and the mountains to their east, even a weakened Aerilon faced little external danger. Internally, Iadon had kept a strong grip on military might, encouraging the nobility toward political squabbling as opposed to militaristic posings. Raoden knew that peace couldn't last long, even if his father refused to see that fact. Raoden's decision to marry Serini had been influenced greatly by the chance to enter a formal treaty with Teod, giving Aerilon at least partial access to the Teoish armada. Aerilines weren't accustomed to battle. They had been bred for pacifism by centurions of Elantrian protection. The current Wern would have to be a fool not to strike soon. All he needed was an opening. Internal strife would provide that opening. If the guard had decided to betray the king, civil conflict would throw Aerilon into chaos once again, and the Fjordels were infamous for capitalizing on such events. Raoden had to find out what was happening beyond those walls. Eventually, he and Galadon reached their destination. Not New Elantris, but the squat, unassuming building that was the passage to the holy place. Galadon hadn't said a word when he'd found out that Raoden had taken Serini to the library. The doula had actually looked as if he'd expected such a development. A few moments later, Raoden and Galadon strode into the underground library. Only a few of the wall lamps burned, an effort to save fuel, but Raoden could easily make out Serini's form, sitting in one of the cubicles at the back, leaned over a book just where he had left her. As they approached, her face became more distinct, and Raoden wasn't able to keep himself from remarking again at her beauty. The dark splotched skin of an Elantrian was prosaic to him now. He didn't really notice anymore. Actually, Serini's body seemed to be adapting remarkably well to the Shaod. Further signs of degeneration were usually visible after just a few days, wrinkles and creases appearing in the skin, the body's remaining flesh color dulling to a pallid white. Serini showed none of this. Her skin was as smooth and vibrant as the day she had entered Elantris. She claimed that her injuries didn't continue hurting the way they should, though Raoden was certain that this was just because she had never lived outside of New Elantris. Many of the more recent newcomers had never experienced the worst of Elantrian pain, the work and positive atmosphere keeping them from focusing on their injuries. The hunger hadn't come upon her either. But again, she had the fortune of coming at a time when everyone had the opportunity to eat at least once a day.
Spirit! You're never going to guess what I found.
You're right. Therefore, you might as well just tell me.
Serini held up the book, showing him the spine, which read, Seor's Encyclopedia of Political Myths.
It's amazing. I have never read anything that so soundly debunks Fjordan's rhetoric and manipulation.
Every government lies occasionally, Serini.
True, but not with such magnitude. For the last 300 years, ever since Fjordan adopted the Dorethi religion, the Worms have been blatantly altering their country's own histories and literature to make it seem as if the Empire's always been a manifestation of divine purpose. Look at this!
What is that?
Wern the King, the entire 3,000-line poem.
I've read it.
Wern was said to be the oldest recorded piece of literature, older even than the Dokando, the holy book that Shu Keseg and eventually Shu Dareth and Shu Koreth had come from.
You may have read a version of Wern the King, but not this one. Modern versions of the poem make references to Yardeth in an almost Dorethi way. The version in this book shows that the priests rewrote the literature from the original to make it sound as if Wern were Dorethi, even though he lived long before Shu Dareth was founded. Back then, Yardeth, or at least the god of the same name that Shu Dareth adopted, was a relatively unimportant god who cared for the rocks under the earth. Now that Fjordan is religious, they can't have it sounding like their greatest historical king was a pagan, so the priests went through and rewrote all the poems. I don't know where this man Seor got an original version of Wern, but if it got out, it would provide a major source of embarrassment to Fjordan. All right, what is it? Am I really that boring?
Not at all. This is just the wrong time. You see, Galadon and I just climbed to the top of the city wall.
And?
We found the Elantris city guard surrounding Duke Telrai's mansion. We're kind of hoping you could tell us why. I know you're hesitant to talk about the outside, but I'm worried. I need to know what is happening.
All right. I guess I haven't been fair. I didn't want to concern you with outside events.
Some of the other Elantrians may seem uninterested, Serini, but that's just because they know we can't change what is going on in Kay. I'd prefer to know about things on the outside, however, even if you are a bit hesitant to talk about them.
It's all right. I can talk about it now. I guess the important part began when I dethroned King Iadon, which, of course, is why he hanged himself.
What?
Raoden sat down with a thump, his eyes wide.
I'm sorry. That was a little blunt, wasn't it?
Iadon is dead?
It turns out he was involved with the Yeskari mysteries. When that got out, he hanged himself rather than face the shame.
Yeskari? I always thought of him as a fool, but how far did his involvement go?
He was sacrificing his cooks and maids.
Serini felt sick. There was a reason she had avoided explaining these things. Spirit apparently noticed her pallor.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
However, she knew no matter what else happened, no matter where she went in her life, the shadowed vision of Aedon's sacrifice would always lurk in her mind.
Telrai is king, then?
Soon. He might have been crowned already.
What about Duke Rohail? He's both richer and more respected. He should have taken the throne.
He's not richer anymore. Fjolden has supplemented Telrai's income. He's a Dorethi sympathizer, which I'm afraid has increased his social standing.
Being a Dorethi sympathizer makes one popular? I've missed a lot, haven't I?
How long have you been in here?
A year.
That matched what some of the other New Elantrians had told her. No one knew for certain how long Spirit had been in the city, but they all guessed at least a year. He had seized control of the rival gangs in recent weeks, but that wasn't the sort of thing a person accomplished without a great deal of planning and work.
I guess that answers how Telrai got the guard to back him. They've always been far too eager to support whoever seemed most popular at the moment.
They relocated to the Duke's mansion shortly before I was thrown in here.
All right, you're going to have to start at the beginning. I need as much information as you can give me.
She began with the fall of the Duladan Republic and Fjordan's increasing threat. She told him of her engagement to Prince Raoden and of the Dorethi incursions into Aerilon. As she spoke, she realized that Spirit understood the political climate of Aerilon more soundly than she would have thought possible. He quickly grasped the implications of Aedon's posthumous declaration. He knew a lot about Fjordan, though he didn't have a working knowledge of how dangerous its priests could be. He was more worried about Wyrn-controlled soldiers. Most impressive was his understanding of the various lords and nobles of Aerilon. Serini didn't need to explain their personalities and temperaments. Spirit already knew them. In fact, he seemed to understand them better than Serini herself.
Forgive me for asking, Spirit, but how is it that you know so much about each of the individual lords and nobles? It's almost as if you knew them personally.
Well, in Aerilon, it is vital to know of each noble with a rank of baron or higher. Many times a lesser nobleman's only means of advancement is to make deals and take contracts with the more powerful aristocrats. They control the markets.
Serini accepted the answer for the time being. She continued to tell Raoden of the events that had recently transpired in Kaye. Only one thing beyond the king's death shocked him.
You were going to marry Rohail?
I can't believe it either. The plan developed rather quickly.
Rohail. The old rascal. He must have thoroughly enjoyed suggesting that idea.
I found the Duke to be an unquestionable gentleman.
I thought you were a better judge of character.
Besides, he didn't suggest it. Shuden did.
Shuden? Yes, that does sound like a connection he would make. Though I can't see him even mentioning the word marriage. The very concept of matrimony frightens him.
Not anymore. He and Ahane's daughter are growing very close.
Shuden and Tirine. Wait a moment. How are you going to marry Rohail? I thought you were already married.
To a dead man.
But your wedding contract said you could never marry again.
How did you know that?
You explained it just a few minutes ago.
I did not.
Sure you did. Didn't she, Galadon?
The large doula, who was flipping through Serini's political book, didn't even look up.
Don't look at me, Sul. I'm not getting involved.
Anyway, how is it that you were going to marry Rohail?
Why not? I never knew this Raoden. Everyone says he was a fine prince, but what do I owe him? My contract with Aerilon dissolved when Aedon died. The only reason I made the treaty in the first place was to provide a link between Aerilon and my homeland. Why would I honor a contract with a dead man when I could form a more promising one with the future king of Aerilon?
So you only agreed to marry the prince for politics?
Of course, I'm a political creature, Spirit. I did what was best for Teod, and for the same reason I was going to marry Rohail.
Raoden nodded, still looking a bit melancholy.
So, I was in the throne room, ready to marry the Duke, and that was exactly when the Sheod took me.
Right then? It happened at your wedding.
Well, now we know why she didn't want to talk about it, Golo.
I'm so sorry, Serini.
It's over now. We need to worry about Telrai's coronation, with Fjordan supporting him.
We can worry about Telrai, but I doubt there's anything we can do. If only there were a way to contact the outside.
Suddenly ashamed, Sereni's eyes darted up to where Eishi hid in the room's shadows, his Aeon nearly invisible.
There might be a way.
Spirit looked up as Sereni waved to Eishi. Eishi started to glow, the Aeon's light expanding into a luminescent ball around him. As the Aeon floated down to hover above her desk, Sereni shot Spirit an embarrassed look.
A Aeon?
You're not angry at me for hiding him?
In all honesty, Sereni, I expected you to hold some things back from me. You seem like the type of person who needs secrets, if only for the sake of having them.
Yes, well, Eishi, go check with Kaiyan and the others. I want to know the moment Telrai declares himself king.
Yes, my lady.
Spirit fell silent. He hadn't commented on Eishi's inexplicable lack of Shaoed madness. But of course, Spirit couldn't know that Eishi had been Sereni's own Aeon. They waited in silence, and Sereni didn't interrupt Spirit's thoughts. She had given him an overwhelming mass of information, and she could see his mind picking through it behind his eyes. He was hiding things from her as well, not that she mistrusted him. Whatever his secrets were, he probably felt he had a good reason for keeping them. She had been involved with politics far too long to take the holding of secrets as a personal offense. That didn't, of course, mean she wasn't going to find out what she could. So far, Eishi hadn't been able to discover anything about a second son of Aiyin Plantation's ruler, but he was very restricted in his movements. She had allowed him to reveal himself only to Kaiyan and the others. She didn't know why he had survived where other Aeons did not, but she didn't want to lose any potential edge his existence might give her. By the time Eishi came back, Sereni had returned her attention to the book on political cover-ups.
Well?
It is done, my lady. Telrai is king.
Hraithen stood in the moonlight atop the Elantra city wall, curiously studying the hole. One of the stairwell barricades was broken and scarred, the boards pulled free. The hole was strikingly similar to one that might have been made by rodents. Elantrian rodents, seeking to escape from their nest. This was one of the sections of the wall kept clean by the guard, and some slime tracks from the stairwell gave ample proof that those below had been up the wall several times. Hraithen strolled away from the stairwell. He was probably the only one who knew about the hole. Elantris was now watched by only two or three guards, and they rarely, if ever, patrolled the wall walk. For now, he wouldn't tell the guards about the hole. Didn't matter to him if the Elantrians snuck out of their city. They wouldn't be able to go anywhere. Their appearance was too distinctive. Besides, he didn't want to bother the people with worries about Elantris. He wanted them to remain focused on their new king and the allegiances he would soon declare. Telrai's coronation had occurred with expected flair. The former duke, now king, was an easy man to understand, and men who could be understood could be manipulated.
Let him enjoy his diversion for the moment. On the morrow, the time will come for payment of debts.
Telrai would undoubtedly demand more money from Hraithen before he joined Shu Dereth.
Ah, King Telrai, so clever you assume yourself to be. And now that you have the crown, you think that gives you more leverage with Fjordan. But how foolish you truly are. Power is not in wealth, but in control. Money is worthless before a man who refuses to be bought. These tidings you seek will not serve to bring you power, but instead lower you beneath the power of another. As you fatten yourself on coins, Erelon will slip ever more from your grasp.
Hraithen shook his head, feeling mildly guilty. He used Telrai because the king made himself such a wonderful tool. However, there would be no conversion in Telrai's heart, no true acceptance of Yadeth or his empire. Telrai's promises would be as empty as the power of his throne, and yet Hraithen would use him. It was logical, and as Hraithen had come to understand, the strength of his faith was in its logic. Telrai might not believe, but his children, raised Dorethi, would.
One man's meaningless conversion will provide for the salvation of a kingdom.
As he walked, Prathan found his eyes consistently drawn toward the darkened streets of Elantris. He tried to focus his thoughts on Tel Rai and the impending conquest of Aerilon. But another matter tickled at his mind. Grudgingly, Prathan admitted to himself that he had wanted to walk the wall of Elantris this night for more than one reason. He was worried about the princess. The emotion bothered him, of course, but he didn't deny that he felt it. Serini had been a wonderful opponent, and he knew how dangerous Elantris could be. He had realized this when he gave the poisoning order, determining the risk to be worth the gain. After waiting 3 days, however, his resolve was beginning to waver. He needed her to live for more reason than one. So Prathan watched the streets, foolishly hoping that he might see her below and console his conscience that she was unharmed. Of course, he hadn't seen anything of the sort. In fact, there didn't seem to be any Elantrians about this evening. Prathan didn't know if they had just moved to other parts of the city, or if the place had grown so violent that they had destroyed themselves. For the princess's sake, he hoped the second was not true.
You are the Gjorn Prathan.
Huh? Prathan spun. A Saeon hovered behind him, glowing vibrantly in the darkness. Prathan squinted, reading the Aeon at its center. Dio.
I am he.
I come on behalf of my master, King Evan Tao of Teod. He wishes to speak with you.
I am anxious to hear what his majesty has to say.
The Saeon's light shifted, outlining the face of a man with an oval face and a full chin.
Your majesty, how may I serve you?
No need for useless civility, Gjorn. You know what I want.
Your daughter.
I know that somehow you have power over this sickness. What would it take for you to heal Serini?
I have no power of myself. It was Lord Yadith who performed the healing.
Then what would it take for your Yadith to heal my daughter?
The Lord might be persuaded if you gave him some form of encouragement. The faithless receive no miracles, Your Majesty.
It will be as you say, priest. If my daughter returns safely from that city, I will convert to Shudereth. I knew it was coming anyway.
I will see if I can encourage Lord Yadith to return the princess, Your Majesty.
Evan Tao nodded. His face was that of a man defeated. The Saeon ended the contact and floated away without a word.
The final piece of my plan is falling into place. Evan Tao has made a wise decision. This way, at least, he gets to demand something in return for his conversion. Even if it is something he would have received anyway.
Prathan looked down at Elantris, more anxious than ever that Serini returned to him unharmed. It was beginning to appear that within the next few months, he would be able to hand Wern not one heathen nation, but two. There had been times when Raoden had wished his father dead. Raoden had seen the people's suffering and knew his father was to blame. Aedon had proven himself deceitful in his success and merciless in his determination to crush others. He had delighted in watching his nobles squabble while his kingdom collapsed. Aerilon would be better off without King Aedon. Yet, when news of his father's demise actually came, Raoden found his emotions traitorously melancholy. His heart wanted to forget the Aedon of the last 5 years, instead remembering the Aedon of Raoden's childhood. His father had been the most successful merchant in all of Aerilon, respected by his countrymen and loved by his son. He had seemed a man of honor and strength. Part of Raoden would always be that child who saw his father as the greatest of heroes. Two things helped him forget the pain of loss. Serini and the Aeons. When he wasn't with one, he was with the other. New Elantris all but ran itself now. The people found their own projects to keep them busy, and there were rarely arguments that required his attention. So he came to the library often, drawing Aeons while Serini studied.
There's surprisingly little information here about modern Fjordan.
Maybe you just haven't found the right book yet.
Perhaps. Everything in here seems to be about the old empire. Only that book on historical reconstruction even mentions the Fjordin of the last 100 years. I assume that the Elantrians would have studied other religions with care, if only to know what they were up against.
As I understand it, the Elantrians didn't really mind competition. The Elantrians figured they were so obviously superior to anything else that they didn't need to worry about other religions. Most of them didn't even care if they were worshipped or not.
Sereni considered his comment, then looked back at her book. A few moments later, the library door opened, and Galadon entered the room.
Is he still up there?
Still screaming at his god.
You mean praying?
You'd think a god would be able to hear him no matter how softly he spoke.
Are you talking about the Gion?
Yes, he's been standing on the wall above the gate since early this morning. Apparently, he's been petitioning his god to heal us.
Heal us?
Something like that. We can't hear him very well.
Healing Elantris? That's a switch.
A few minutes later, when Raoden had nearly completed the Aeon and its modifiers, he realized that Sereni had put down her book and was watching him with interested eyes. The scrutiny made him slip again, and the Aeon faded away before he even realized what he had done.
What?
You've been drawing that same one for the last hour now.
I want to get it right.
But you have! At least a dozen times in a row!
It helps me think.
About what?
Lately, about Aeon Dor itself. I understand most of the theory now, but I still don't seem any closer to discovering what has blocked the door. I feel that the Aeons have changed, that the old patterns are slightly wrong, but I can't even begin to guess why that would be.
Maybe something's wrong with the land.
What do you mean?
Well, you say that the Aeons and the land are linked, though even I could have told you that.
Oh? Did your training as a princess include some secret lessons in Elantrian magic?
No, but it did include training in the Aeons. To begin every Aeon, you draw a picture of Aerilon. I learned that as a little girl.
Say that again?
Hmm? Oh, it's just a silly trick my teacher used to make me pay attention. Every Aeon starts the same way, with a line at the top to represent the coast, a line down the side that looks like the Eitaid Mountains, and a dot in the middle to be like Lake Elono.
She's right, Sue. It does kind of look like Aerilon. Didn't your books say something about that?
No. Well, they claim there was a connection between the Aeons and Aerilon, but they never mentioned that the characters actually represented the land. Perhaps the concept was just too elementary.
Galadon picked up his book, folding something out of its back. A map of Aerilon.
Keep drawing, Sue. Otherwise that Aeon's going to vanish away.
Raoden complied, forcing his finger back into motion. Galadon held up the map, and Sereni moved to stand at the doula's side. They looked through the thin paper at the glowing Aeon.
Dolakan! Sue, the proportions are exactly the same. They even slant the same way.
Raoden finished the Aeon with one last stroke. He joined the other two, regarding the map. Then looked over at Sereni.
But what's wrong, then? The mountains are still there, as is the coast and the lake.
Don't look at me, you're the expert. I can't even get the first line right.
Raoden turned back to the Aeon. A few seconds later, it flashed briefly and disappeared. If Sereni's hypothesis was right, then the Aeons were even more closely linked to Aerilon than he had assumed. Whatever had stopped Aeon Dor must have affected the land as well.
Sereni, you are perhaps the most
What? What is it?
Something was wrong. The dark splotches on the princess's skin were the wrong color. They were a mixture of blues and purple, like bruises. They seemed to fade before his eyes.
Merciful Domai! Galadon, look at her!
The doula turned with alarm. Then his face changed from worried to awed.
What?
What did you do, Sue?
Nothing!
Raoden looked at the place where his Aeon had been.
Something else must be healing her. Wait a minute.
Sereni had never been able to draw Aeons. She had complained of being cold, and she still insisted that her wounds didn't hurt. Raoden reached out and felt Serini's face. Her flesh was warm. Too warm. Even for a new Elantrian whose body hadn't completely cooled yet. He pushed the scarf off her head with trembling fingers and felt the nearly invisible blonde stubble on her scalp.
Eidos Domai.
Raoden grabbed her hand, pulling her out of the library. they quickly enter the courtyard before the gate to Elantris.
Spirit, I don't understand.
You were never an Elantrian, Serena. It was a trick. The same one that the Giorn used to appear as if he were an Elantrian. Somehow, Prathan can make it seem that you've been taken by the Shayod when you haven't.
But...
Think, Serene. Your wedding to Roile would have put an opponent of Shudarith on the throne. Prathan had to stop that wedding, and he did it in the most embarrassing way he could contrive. You don't belong here.
Riordan pulled on her arm again, attempting to lead her toward the gates.
I'm not going!
But you have to go. This is Elantris, Serene. No one wants to be here.
I don't care. I'm going to stay.
Aerilon needs you.
Aerilon will be better off without me. If I hadn't interfered, Iadon would still be alive, and Telrai wouldn't have the throne.
Riordan fell still. He wanted her to stay. He longed for her to stay. But he would do whatever it took to get her out of Elantris. The city was death. The gates were opening. The Giorn had recognized his prey. Serene regarded Riordan with wide eyes, her hand reaching up toward him. The splotches had nearly completely vanished now. She was beautiful.
You think we can afford to feed you, Princess? You assume we will waste food on a woman who is not one of us?
That won't work, Spirit. I can see the truth in your eyes.
Then believe this truth. Even with severe rationing, New Elantris only has enough food for a few more weeks. We raise crops, but it will be months before we can harvest them. During that time, we will starve, all of us. The men, the women, and the children. We will starve unless someone on the outside can get us more supplies.
Serene hesitated. Then she was in his arms, pulling close against his chest.
Curse you. Doma, curse you.
Aerilon does need you. If what you say is right, and a Fjordel sympathizer is on the throne, there may not be much time left for Elantris. You know what the Dorethi priests would do to us if they had their way. Things have gone very wrong in Aerilon, Serene, and you are the only one I trust to fix them.
I will return.
Men in yellow and brown churned around them, pulling the two apart. They shoved Briodin aside.
Get back, you foul creature!
No, no!
They pulled Serene away.
Spirit! I will come back! I will find you again!